Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun India's Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nihal Mahesh Jham from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steven. On behalf of Edelweiss, I would like to welcome you all for the Q4 FY21 earnings call of Welspun India. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajesh Mandavewala, Managing Director, Ms. Dipali Goenka, CEO and Joint MD, Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti, President Finance and CFO, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Ms. Dipali Goenka for her opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am, and thank you.
Thank you, Nihal. A very warm welcome to all of you to Welspun India Q4 FY21 and FY21 earnings conference call. I hope that you and your families are keeping well and taking adequate care. As we continue to sail through these unprecedented times, I believe that it is our spirit of we as one family that will help us emerge stronger than ever before. We are all in it together, and at Welspun, we are leaving no stone unturned to help our employees fight this battle. I'm thankful to all of our colleagues for rising to this challenge and ensuring business continuity. These times will bring along new learnings and will shape us to emerge as a stronger and more resilient organization. The company remains committed in its long-term aspiration of delivering sustainable and profitable volume-led growth, building on strong brand equity and gradually driving and scaling up new pillars of growth. The global economy is exhibiting emerging signs of recovery as countries renew their tryst with growth, supported by monetary and fiscal stimulus. Economic activities remain uneven across countries and sectors, with outlook varying from region to region. Let me discuss the key business highlights, and later, Sanjeev will cover the key financial highlights. We concluded the year on a positive note with Q4 year-on-year revenue and EBITDA growth of 31% and 21% respectively. I'm delighted to report that in FY21, we have delivered highest-ever annual revenue with growth of 8% year-on-year. This has resulted in the highest-ever bed linen, bath linen, and rugs and carpet sales volume in a year. We are also very proud to state that the company has crossed a billion-dollar income for the first time. Recent U.S. economic indicators show that the economy is on firm footing and is expected to grow fastest in the other three decades. Vaccinations, economic stimulus payments, and tax refunds are combining to provide a substantial increase in personal income and thus purchasing power. Increased spending intentions and comfort with resuming pre-pandemic behaviors like shopping in stores, travel, and family gatherings is likely to translate into higher levels of household spending. Globally, the homebody economy with focus on hygiene will continue to drive demand for home textiles. Big box retailers, supermarkets, and marketplaces are expected to continue doing well across geographies. As you can see in our earnings presentation, during the year under consideration, our home textile plant situated in Vapi and Anjar operated at more than peak capacities. The capital-light expansion at both the plants, which we had announced in Q3, is on track, and the benefits from this investment will start accruing in phases from Q2 FY22. On the back of expanded capacity and with customer demand remaining to be buoyant, we believe we'll be able to grow our top line significantly over the next few years. During the quarter, we have partnered with leading European retailer for their textile blockchain globally. The challenge was not only to secure the supply of organic cotton without GMO, but also to enable the consumers to get the full visibility of entire supply chain. Welspun India has been named one of the best firms for data scientists to work for by Analytics India Magazine 2021. Innovation is an integral part of Welspun's DNA and the foundation on which our customer-centric solutions are built. We are adding sustainable product range and increasing product portfolio, keeping health and wellness in mind. Our innovation-driven approach has helped us to get 32 patented technology in various jurisdictions like India, USA, and Europe. Our innovation product sales during the year was 1,929 crores, registering a growth of 6% year-on-year and contributing 20% to the top line. True to ideology, from farm to shelf, we partner with the farming communities to provide access to the best agronomic practices and technology to improve the quality and yield of organic cotton and BCI. We are encouraged by successful collaboration that we have formed with leading technology and global funding partners in this area. More than 12,000 farmers have benefited in FY21, and we aim to reach 20,000 by FY25. To give the furtherance to the company's initiatives towards sustainability, it has included all aspects of ESG, that is, environment, social, and governance, and aligned it to its business strategies. The company's newly formed board, ESG committee, will review the ESG activities' progress and provide appropriate directions. We have refined our mid- and long-term goals to further strengthen an ambitious ESG strategy explained more elaborately in the earnings statement. China's share in the U.S. market continues to be under pressure. As per OTEXA data, in the last 3 years, we have seen India's market share in towels and bedsheets increase by 4% and reach out to 42% and 53% respectively. The pandemic has reshaped our world, and more consumers have begun shopping online in greater numbers and frequency. In U.S. alone, consumers spent more than $850 billion dollars online in 2020, up 44% year-on-year as per industry data. Online spending represented about 21% of total retail sales as compared to 15% in the year prior. Our e-commerce business also witnessed similar trend and heightened demand with growth of 84% year-on-year, contributing $34 million to the top line of FY21. And the e-commerce channel is well set to cross $100 million by 23. Licensed brand brings to us new opportunity pockets by opening up new channels and shelf space without cannibalizing our existing businesses. This business through licensed brands has enabled us to deepen our connect with consumers across markets and aspirational categories. Martha Stewart brand saw expansion in both online as well as offline and has clocked the annual turnover of around $14 million in FY21. And we continue to see strong performance in FY22 with increased customer base. Prospects of Scott Living brand, which we had signed up during the year, also looks very promising. We expect annualized revenue from licensed brands to cross $100 million by FY24. With surge in cotton and other input costs, we are witnessing pressure on margins, and we are seeking price increase from customers, which will reflect with a lag of 3 to 4 months. However, input prices have of late softened from its peak, and this should help reduce pressures on margins. Emerging businesses. The company continued to witness strong business momentum as the COVID impact on the consumer sentiment seemed to fade in the second half of the financial year. Domestic retail business again recorded a very strong revenue of 73 crores, growing by 77% year-on-year with positive EBITDA in quarter four. Despite headwinds, we ended the year with 3,400 outlets in 66 towns for brand W, and we plan to be in 100 towns and 6,550-plus outlets with a distributor in every town we are present in. We have also added 22 towns and 307 outlets for brand spaces during this year. We are extremely enthused with a significant turnaround seen in the retail demand over the last few months, and it gives us confidence of crossing annualized revenue of 1,000 crores by FY25. With the recent surge of COVID wave in India and government imposing localized lockdowns, we could see normal demand conditions returning with a delay of a quarter. The advanced textile bedpipes business saw commercial engagement with two large global MNCs for the hygiene segment. Demand for baby segment bedpipes in domestic markets remained buoyant, while globally the demand remained muted. Commercial activation of bedpipes at a large Japanese baby care giant, who are consistently growing in the Indian market, was also achieved in Q4. Industrial segment demand dip of Q3 saw a correction in Q4, supported by growth in safety wear and special application. Product development in pipeline for the commercialization remains healthy. Greenfield spun lace capacity addition project in Telangana is on course, and we expect commercial operations to commence from H2 FY22. Revenue during the quarter from advanced textile business stood at Rs. 85 crores, registering 40% growth year-on-year. New disinfectant wipes lying at Anjar and expansion of spun lace capacity at Telangana could help this business achieve top line of over Rs. 600 crores by FY23. In Q4, as the lockdown eased out in multiple international geographies, we have entirely booked in our flooring business, especially in hard flooring segment, with repeat orders with higher ticket size from our large clients from US and Middle East regions. We received trial orders from regions like UK and Southeast Asia to show our capabilities and services for long-term associations. We could also generate and supply trial orders for few big clients of US region. The company has a healthy pipeline of orders for the hard flooring segment. On the soft flooring side, business started taking shape with strong inquiries from US and Middle East regions. The business added new clients with high ticket size to our pipeline for supplies in quarter one, FY22, from Canada and Middle East regions, and positive to generate business from ROW regions in the latter part of the year. These geographies are expected to contribute significantly to the overall business going forward. Coming to our domestic flooring business, Q4 witnessed highest ever expansion of a retail footprint, adding 128 dealers to our channel. We concluded the year with a total of 572 dealers in our network across 192 towns and cities. Digital customer acquisition has been really going strong, clocking a robust 24% contribution to our month-on-month sales. During the quarter, we have continued adding business from a large list of marquee brands across both commercial and hospitality channels. Robust growth outlook for building materials segment in India for the near to long term also augurs well for growth of a product line. During the quarter, flooring business grew more than 3x year-on-year and contributed 5% to the top line in FY21. During the quarter, flooring branded business grew 90% year-on-year. With business looking very strong in the hard flooring segment and with soft flooring starting to gain traction, we are confident that we should be able to achieve EBITDA break-even in the second half of 22 and break-even during FY23. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Sanjeev to provide updates on financial numbers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dipali. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for joining the Q4 and FY21 Welspun India earnings con call. I will give a brief overview of the financial numbers for the quarter before we open for Q&A. I hope everyone must have got a chance to look at the earnings presentation and press release by now. Just to mention that from Q4, we have only started disseminating volume numbers for each of our businesses, but have also shared granular statistics which will help you track the company's progress with clear lens. I'm delighted to share that during the quarter, the company achieved highest ever sales volume in bath linen, bed linen, and rugs and carpets. Bath linen sales volume grew by 19% YOY, bed linen sales volume grew by 52% YOY, and rugs and carpet sales volume grew by 41% YOY. During Q4, the total income grew by 31% from 1,664 crores to 2,174 crores, and in full year, total income grew by 8% from 6,836 crores to 7,408 crores. EBITDA in Q4 grew by 21% to 358 crores versus 296 crores with an EBITDA margin of 16.5%. In FY21, EBITDA margin grew by 8% to 1,420 crores versus 1,310 crores with an EBITDA margin of 19.2%. As you're aware, plants were not running in the initial period of the current financial year because of the government-imposed lockdown on account of COVID. Further, the existing incentive scheme for export goods, RoSCTL, was replaced by RoDTEP with effect from 1st of January 2021. However, the rates of RoDTEP are yet to be notified, and hence, we have not accrued any income on this account in Q4 FY21. In spite of these, we have still been able to achieve revenue and EBITDA growth over financial year 2020. Had COVID-induced shutdown not happened in the initial weeks of FY21, we could have achieved double-digit top-line growth. Higher minimum support prices and 10% basic customs duty on custom cotton imports have led to increase in cotton prices of around 30% YoY. With the prevailing second COVID wave, we expect cotton demand to drop and prices to stay stable or drop marginally. The increase in other expenses is mainly volume-linked expenses with stores and spares, dyes and chemicals, job work, and apart from increase in logistic costs due to global increase in freight rates, as well as due to increase in volume. All-round increase in input prices and global freight costs could keep the margins under pressure in the coming quarters, and hence, we have already started discussion with the key customers for price increase. Q4 profit after tax, after minority interest, stood at rupees 130 crores, up 52% YoY, and FY21 profit after tax, after minority interest, stood at 540 crores, up 6% YoY. FY21 EPS stood at 5.37 versus 5.05 in the same period last year. We have been consistent in hedging a large portion of our exports, and hence, our average exchange realization for this quarter has been a very healthy 76.14 rupees versus 74.08 rupees in the corresponding quarter last year. Company has prepaid term loans of rupees 374 crores as on March 31st, 2021, along with other installments which were due as on the year-end. The weighted average interest rate of loan prepaid was 8.48% per annum. Net debt of the company stood at rupees 2,333 crores, a reduction of rupees 629 crores over March 2020. Over the last 4 years, the net debt by equity has gone down to 0.64x as on 31st March 2021 versus 1.27 as on 31st March 2017. There is a continuous improvement in ROC in spite of adding additional capacities in various businesses, which will yield significant cash flows in future. Net debt of the core business was reduced by rupees 702 crore in the last 12 months. In FY21, we have spent rupees 453 crores in CapEx. In spite of investment in the growth businesses, net debt has remained below rupees 2,400 crores as on 31st March 2021. Coming to segmental result, Q4 FY21 home textile revenues stood at 2,052 crores versus 1,585 crores during the same period last year, growing by 30% YoY. FY21 home textile revenues stood at 7,128 crores versus 6,663 crores during the same period last year, growing by 7% YoY. Q4 EBITDA margin stood at 18% and FY21 EBITDA margin stood at 20.9%. During the quarter, revenue from flooring business was rupees 119 crores, up 182 crores YoY and 21% QoQ. EBITDA loss reduced to rupees 19 crores versus loss of rupees 24 crores in Q3 FY21. During the year, revenue from flooring business was rupees 319 crores, up 265% YoY. EBITDA loss during the year was 100 crores versus loss of 142 crores in FY20. In the flooring business, we are seeing improvement QoQ, and we expect the top line of around rupees 800 crores in FY22. During the quarter, advanced textile business clocked revenue of 85 crores, and in FY21 clocked rupees 309 crores, up 24% YoY. Emerging growth businesses, which includes branded business, e-com business, flooring, and advanced textile cumulatively grew 87% YOY and contributed 15% to top line during the year. The board of directors at its meeting held today has approved buyback of equity shares of the company for an amount of Rs. 200 crores at a price of Rs. 120 per share. The promoters will be tendering only 70% of their eligibility under the buyback. Apart from this, the board has also approved dividend of 15 paisa per share. The company's outflow for the buyback and dividend would be Rs. 265 crores, which includes the tax outflow. And this is close to 50% payout against the policy of 25% payout. Further, the board has also agreed to consider buyback options on a regular basis. The expansion projects of flooring, advanced textile and home textile businesses, which were in different stages of progress in FY21, will get completed in FY22. CAPEX spent in FY22 to complete these projects is expected to be around Rs. 600 crores. In spite of the CAPEX and higher outflow due to buyback and dividend, the company will continue to prepay the high cost debt as evidenced over the last two financial years. Consequently, the net debt of the company is expected to be around Rs. 2,400 crores in March 2022. Since bulk of the CAPEX is skewed towards the first half, the net debt could be higher than the guidance in the first two quarters. The net debt guidance is without considering incentive dues from Telangana government. The total due on this account would be around 200 crores by the end of FY22, and any amount received on this account would further reduce the net debt. On the back of expanded capacities and with customer demand remaining to be buoyant, the company is well set to achieve a top line of Rs. 12,500 crore by FY25 with a CAGR of over 14%. During this period, home textile business is expected to grow by over 10%, flooring business by over 50%, and advanced textile by over 25%. The top line of the company is expected to grow upwards of 15% in FY22. Home textile over 10%, flooring over 125%, and advanced textile over 50%. Over the last few months, input costs have increased significantly. This, coupled with uncertainty on roadmap rates, has put pressure on margin. In spite of these headwinds, with our drive towards cost optimization, use of technology and improved efficiency, aided further by strong business prospects and robust outlook, we believe we should be able to achieve annual EBITDA margin between 17 to 18% in FY22, depending on the roadmap rates, which are yet to be notified. However, quarterly margin may vary depending on the cost cost pressures and corresponding price revisions. We continue to remain focused on our strategic priorities and growth pillars. We continue to lay emphasis on our long-term goal of sustainable growth and profitability and delivering and deleveraging our balance sheet. With this, I will leave the floor open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, and congratulations on your numbers. Just a couple of questions. Any sense on when they expect to like notify ROSCTL? Because it's slightly strange to be able to be running a couple of quarters and not knowing what your incentives are. And is there any expectations or that you guys have internally on if it's going to be higher end or lower than the earlier incentives?
Hi, Ritesh, and hope you are well. So this is for the obvious reason that we are in a nearly lockdown situation. So things are actually working a little slower than all of us expected with the policymakers. Nonetheless, through our industry associations, we have been actively engaged with them.
After call to Australia, ATL number.
Our expectation is for the ROTEP rates to be between 2 and 4%, and so let's hope hopefully over the next 45 days or at least before the first quarter earnings are announced, that we should have clarity on this. But indications are between 2% and 4%, and also I think this will have to wait and see this how the exact numbers pan out. But these are the indications that we get as an industry.
And how much was it earlier? It was about a 6.5%.
Yeah. Product to product is a little different. It was a different product to product, but yes, it was around 6%.
Correct. And the numbers of this quarter, effectively, you haven't included any of the incentives, and you've still been able to do a 20% plus margin.
Yeah. The March quarter results, there is no ROTEP incentive. So since the rates have not been announced, as a prudent accounting practice, we have not taken credit of anything.
Good. And so in the event that they are slightly lower, and given where the RM prices and the transportation prices are, etc., would it be possible to pass on some of this to the customers, or they would say that already the profit margins are reasonably high despite not having it, and therefore it being harder to actually pass on to the customers?
Dipali?
So usually the practices of the commodity pricing that we pass on, and that's where it is. So the ROTEP doesn't get passed on, but the whole commodity definitely is a conversation, and that already is happening. And we have seen a steep rise in cotton and yarn and the other commodities as well. So that conversation is on, and as we shared, we definitely would be looking at price increase coming in the latter in the 3 to 4 months.
And just say, actually, the last question is that, we've obviously seen a reasonable amount of, tailwinds, as you had indicated, because of the work from home. Are you kind of continuing to see the same level of orders, etc., given that America is actually opening up now, or has that slowed down in any way, and how should we be looking at it over the next few years?
So I'll just tell you a few things here. I think COVID, post-COVID, the world has changed. I think we all know that it's never going to be 100% office going, going to be a trend. People will be still working from home. And the home will be the place where people will be continuing to work. And we see that happening this year absolutely very, very strongly. And next year too, it will be not to the extent this year, but practically to the extent of 60 to 70%. So this is, the home will be an integral part of people's lives more and more so, actually. I mean, we have seen the homebody economy grew up dramatically, to the extent of 32 to 40% more this year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. And thanks for giving me the opportunity, sir. My question is again on the home textile business. So if you consider this quarter, the growth was very robust. It was around 35%. And we have seen, a good year considering the fact that first quarter was, not that big. So now things are opening up in the US. As you said, that even markets are opening. People would start visiting the, retail shops. So in that case, don't you think 10% growth in the home textile, assumption is a little conservative?
I think we are looking at the complete year at a view, and we are very comfortable with 10% on the base of around what we have achieved, over 7,000 crores. So I think it is pretty robust, and I think we have taken quite an aggressive target here, and we will actually saw a growth in bath linen, bed linen, and rugs and carpets. Rugs will also see a very big upside here. And also, so will our fashion bedding and TOB, since our brand mix will increase, and so will our e-commerce mix, because our digitization has accelerated tremendously. So we will see a mega impact is there as well.
Right. And congratulations that you have again, you know, re-empaneled with, you know, one of your most important clients. So in that is, you know, what exactly, you know, are the current, you know, deal structure with the new, with the client, and you know, what kind of revenues you are expecting? Because if we consider FY16, the revenues were around 460 crores. If we consider 10% of the business, so what kind of revenues you are expecting from you know, the re-empanelment?
So I'll tell you one thing. We have continued to do well this year also, and I think with the product mix that we have, we definitely are confident to achieve our numbers. So far as this retail, so far as you talked about, I think I'm just actually going to just say fundamentally we have complied with our statutory disclosure requirements. So I cannot say anything further at this stage. So that's where I rest my case today.
Right. And just one
Mr. Pavaskar, so sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, maybe request you to rejoin the queue, please. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. So first is, when we look at the US retail market per se, we are consistently keep hearing the news on more and more retailers getting impacted and more store closures and all. From that perspective, obviously we have grown in last year, maybe with few of the large retailers. How do you see the retail environment in US panning out with whatever we have seen in the last 1 year specifically?
I think I'll tell you, I'll give you an insight. Definitely, the departmental stores have been challenged and they have been struggling. But the big box retailers, mass retailers, discounters have grown. And I think if you would have seen our deck, e-commerce would be something that we have seen a massive upside. Massive digitization acceleration has happened in US. And that's where we see our mega upside happening. And it's going to be contributed by our brands like Martha Stewart, Scott Living, online and offline, and also our D2C brands like Wellspun and Well Home. So definitely we see a very, very big potential there. We see a robust growth that side.
Okay. So no major impact because of some of the departmental stores not doing that well. Obviously, this year we have not seen any impact, but no major impact is what we are seeing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see the impetus on the mass retailers, big box, e-commerce players, and more focus on the online and omni-channel, for sure, and a focus on brands. Because if you look at our highlights, I mean, 84% growth on e-commerce, 21% year-on-year growth on brand business, and 6% growth on innovation. I think that's going to be the way forward for Wellspun India.
Okay.
Because it gets different channels of growth. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And just one question on financials. Over the last 2 quarters, the interest cost has almost more than doubled, actually, 36 to 64 crores. You mentioned something on interest subsidy not being received from Telangana government. Is that the only reason, or is there anything else? Because your interest cost, which was anywhere between 5%, has moved to almost like 7.5% now. Just curious to know on that.
I will take a question, and Sanjeev, yeah, thanks for the asking. Yeah, so basically, if you look at there are two reasons for this increase in cost. One is that, if you would remember in the last call, in the last quarter, we had redeemed preference shares of one of our subsidiary companies, which is the power generating company, and there is an accounting impact when the unwinding happened, because we redeemed it before the due, we pre-redeemed it, and that had an impact of 16 crores. And then this quarter, we get subsidy, which is a part of a large part of that is the interest subsidy. Now, some of these interest subsidy, based on our reassessment, we kind of wrote off about 12 to 13 crores of that subsidy. So overall, these two are the major reason. And the third thing is, when you compare it with last year, flooring business was just started, and now this and the interest were getting capitalized, and this year they are not getting capitalized because the flooring business has started, the business operations. So that also is about 8-10 crores of impact. So all put together, this is the impact which is impacting the increase. But the core business interests have actually gone down significantly. So there are two one-time exceptional item of almost about 28 crores, which has caused this variance. I hope I'm able to answer your query.
Yes. I think all that impact has come in this quarter, is it? Quarter four.
No, two quarters, this quarter and the previous quarter. So if you look at this quarter, my interest cost, finance cost has only gone up by three crores. It's an impact in the last two quarters, this quarter and the previous quarter, both together.
Okay. Still, because your overall gross borrowing has come down, even if I adjust for 28 crores, your interest cost has gone up actually.
We have prepaid significant loan in the end of the year, so that impact will come next year. But my borrowing cost, net borrowing cost has gone up by only 20 crores for the full year. And as I said, that the last part of it is preference shares and reversal of the TUF benefit, which is 28 crores. Then the whole year, if you look at it, 16 crores is the double flooring business impact, because it was getting capitalized last year till most of the year. And this is the reason why. And my core business, my textile business, if I remove this exceptional item, that actually have reduced my borrowing cost by 24 crores.
Okay, understood, sir. So is there any risk on the interest subsidy which we were earlier promised from Telangana government?
No, so most. So I think it's not. There's no risk on that. Then this is not Telangana government reversal. These are some old dues. See what happens is a very large amount of these subsidies were received, and some of them very small amounts are not received. So we just took a call there. But Telangana subsidy, there's no risk. It's just a timing issue as to when we are going to get it. And because due to pandemic, I think the disbursement have been slow. And RRM may add more on that if you would like to.
Yeah. There's nothing beyond what Sanjeev said. So because let's say it's a new business, so from a process perspective also, this there's work to be done. So the incentive will come, but for obvious reasons due to COVID, the government's, this for the first half of the previous year and now again, so the whole machinery is involved fighting this situation. So we'll wait and see. It's a new state for us. Having said that, the monies are due to us. So there's no dispute on that. It's that, from a timing perspective, this when is it going to come? So I think things need to settle down, and this will have a fairer picture.
Okay. I'll come back in the queue. I have no question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Cheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations to the entire management for excellent performance all around, overall on the operational front as well as on the financial front. A few questions on the project and the guidance given. First on the guidance, next year operating margin guidance of 16 to 17%, is it without assuming RODTP rates, or have you factored in some RODTP rates in that? So, because that will obviously impact overall margins. So, just clarification on the same.
Guidance we have given is 17 to 18%. What we have considered in the guidance is 2% growth.
2% total. Right. Okay. I'm assuming in some guidance you have already assumed some price hike from customers, so that would already be factored in, right?
Yeah, some of it factored in, yeah.
Does
business continues to be in discussion with customers and obviously they will try to minimize.
I think your margin guidance looks conservative because already reported around 70% in quarter four, and which includes RODTP of zero, and we are looking strong growth in FY22 anyway, but the conservative guidance is good enough for investors. Second question would be on the advanced textile business. What was the absolute number of advanced textile in FY21, and what kind of operating margins we are at now in that business? I think 85 crores was quarter four, so it's
full year, I missed. Yeah. So we were north of 300 crores, Bhavin, and it was a good year for us last year for this for the business, and obviously bulk of the revenues come from the health and hygiene side. So for obvious reasons, the business did well. We are in the middle of now expanding our spunlace capacities. Hopefully by September, we should start our Telangana facility where the new spunlace line will come about. So from 300 odd, we should be looking north of 400 crores in the current year. And the business, of course, last year there were tailwinds on the margin. So the margins will come back to where they were around the 20% mark. So the last 4 or 5 years, we have been around that margin level, and we'll continue to clock the same level of margins.
Sure. And the last question, there have been press reports a couple of weeks back where EU is considering taking away the advantage enjoyed by Pakistan for imports of Pakistan garments into EU. So what are further developments and what are you hearing? And is EU a big opportunity for Indian home textiles? And Wellspun, what's your current EU component of overall sales, and what's our strategy for expanding our sales in EU region for future years? As of now, I think there's a duty disadvantage of 9%. So what's the management hearing and what's the view on that?
So I'll take this question. So in the policy or any kind of announcement, we really have no future takeaways right now. So there it is. However, for us, UK and Europe have shown very promising growth. And we continue to be a very prominent part of the shelf space of the retailer there. For example, for us, UK took in around 13% of the growth, and so did EU also grew tremendously as well. So we are pretty confident about the market share there, because the contribution comes in strongly from innovation and the products that we give in the portfolio of towel, sheets, fashion bedding and rugs. So definitely we'll continue to take on that share and grow.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirti Jain from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
The question is with regard to the CAPEX plan. What will be our CAPEX plan for the next year, sir?
So we've guided that we will be doing around 100 crores. There is no new project. These are all completion of the existing project we had announced during the course of last year, which is the completion of the balance portion of the flooring business, that cell capacity increase, which will get commissioned in H2, early H2, and the home textile, the capital light expansion, which we had announced last quarter.
Sir, then with regard to this PLI scheme, the production link incentive scheme, which is going to come, anything we will be able to participate in that scheme, sir?
No, it's not
this relevant to us, and this for greenfield anyways, it is not such a big this incentive, so this we will not be participating in the PLI scheme, because with PLI, as we understand it, you know, things like WhatsApp and all have to be foregone. So this, it doesn't make this any merit for us to go into PLI. So I'm afraid we will have no advantage of that.
Okay. Sir, given the low rates of rod depth which we are projecting, so the duty on imported cotton should not be an issue, right, sir? Given that rod depth is 2%, and if we use duty-free license, we will get 0%. So import of cotton should not be an issue, right, sir? That central government has put a duty.
Yeah. Look, you know, this any form, this when you pay duty, it is worse than not paying duty, right? So having said that, the margin guidance that we have given has factored all that into account. So and at the company, we make sure that on transaction to transaction, whatever is beneficial, whether it is advanced licensing or drawback, so we take this transaction to transaction call and accordingly, you know, try and optimize it. So the guidance is taking cognizance of that as well.
Thanks, sir. Thank you also.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sumant.
Hi, sir. So my question is regarding target. So can you talk about in the past we have a 10% of the overall business, and whatever the business we lost after the signing, can we expect how many years it will take to reach that level?
I think we've said enough right now, and I can again just repeat that we'll not be able to share any further comments on this. We've already complied with our disclosure requirements. So that is it right now from our end.
Okay. Now, talking about the licensed brand, we are targeting next 2 to 3 years of $100 million, right? So the current existing brand, whatever license we have, Are we getting more licensed brand to reach that level, or existing brand is going to reach 100 million in the next 2 to 3 years?
So I'll tell you, like when we talk about Martha Stewart, a licensed brand, this year we did around $14 million. We would have actually done $27 million. Because of the whole logistics issue, we couldn't achieve that number in March. So our forecast for Martha itself is very robust for next year. It's over $37-40 million. Then you have another portfolio of Scott Living, which again will be another $10-15 million. And above all, we also have our portfolio of a D2C brands, Wellspun and Wellhome Basics and Christie Living as well, which is also contributing very, very strongly to this. And definitely, there are some opportunities we are considering in more licensing opportunities. That will be also a very important part of this $100 million. We are very confident of achieving these numbers.
So currently, what we were earlier talking about, the key growth driver, that we have a B2B, now we have a B2C owned brand, then we are targeting licensed brand, that is the third pillar. The fourth one we were targeting earlier, the hospitality and all. So can you talk about the overall the margin dynamics of the entering into licensed brand and increasing B2C contribution? Is the how the margin dynamics going forward?
So I must just share that when you talk about brands, the margins will definitely be better. It also gives us the shelf space in not just the existing retailers, but different retailers as well. And so that's where we have seen our growth happening. So our margin guidance will be stronger and our mix will be better, because more brand mix, more D2C brands, like what we are talking about, Wellspun and Wellhome, Christie, which also is a digital brand in the portfolio mix, which actually has shown a very tremendous impetus this year, actually. Definitely the mix will be very, very strong here. We definitely will see an upside, upside in that.
So the last one, can you talk about the competitive landscape of the home textile currently?
Can you come back again? Didn't get your question.
Can you talk about the competitive landscape of home textile industry?
You're talking about the competitive landscape?
Yeah, how the other countries and the competing with China and how we are gaining markets there, the outlook on that.
So I think we definitely are seeing China under pressure, and the OTEXA data has shown that India has definitely taken some shares, and we have seen around a growth of around 2% or 3% this year in both the categories, towels and sheets. So that has something definitely have, we can see that. However, if I look at India as a position, we definitely are strong in our cotton supply chain. And we see India in a right position and very robust in the terms of our promise going forward. Pakistan, Bangladesh and Vietnam definitely are there in the opening price points. But India will take the share in the middle to the upper price points for sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, good evening and congratulations on a very strong set of FY21. Just a couple of questions from my end. One, in your branded business, the $100 million franchise that you're trying to build, what would be the realization difference there versus your maybe B2B business? Net of licenses, royalty. That's number one. And the second, we heard something about some Xinjiang China cotton ban. So does it impact home textiles as much, or is it only restricted to fashion industry? And are there any implications for it for Indian exporters and exporters other than China?
Yeah. So I'll take the branded question first. So definitely our prospects are better. And I can tell you, when we talk about branded business, the margins definitely are better. And since right now it's $100 million, the contribution to our product mix and the volume will be that much only that we are talking about. I can say that, it looks very, very promising to us. When you talk about Xinjiang cotton, it's not just about apparel. I think Xinjiang actually is, contributes around 20% of the supply chain of China. And what it did actually, it laid stress on the whole supply chain of yarn. And that you can see in the price upside that we see right now in the commodities. So definitely that has actually created a pressure on the whole supply chain as well.
Ma'am, can you probably give some sort of sense, numerical or quantitative sense, in terms of how what will be the gross margin differential between branded and B2B?
It will be around, I actually can't give you a consolidated thing right now, but it definitely is upside of around 10 to 15% from the regular B2B.
Got it. Thank you. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
So we'll take what? This will be the last question, gentlemen. We are approaching 5 p.m. So we'll take one last question.
Sure, sir.
So congratulations to the management and kudos to you for putting out the ESG data. That's extremely helpful. Thanks for that. A couple of questions.
If you can take the phone off speaker, please.
Sorry, just a second. Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So my first question is that if you look at the increase in the home textile, that year on year, that growth has been 7%, but the capital employed has gone up by almost 17%. Could you explain me the aberration?
Sanjeev? Can you please repeat the question?
Basically, if you look at your capital employed in the home textile segment, your assets less liability, there has been an absolute increase of close to 500 crores in that home textile business. If you look at the YOY increase in the capital employed, it's been 17%, whereas sales has increased by 7%. Could you explain me why that has happened?
Let me just check this.
In the meanwhile, may I ask my next question?
Yeah, please. No, let me address this.
Yeah.
Let me address this. So this, as you would know, yeah, this, the first quarter,
Right.
Because of the lockdown situation, the revenues were not adequate. So we lost not only revenue, we lost this margins as well. So because of the inadequacy of that, this these numbers look slightly different. And this a better way of looking that would perhaps be the last quarter or maybe the second half of the year, where this business operations were restored and you will see healthier numbers there.
Noted. Thanks for that. Second, sir, could you tell me what are the distribution channels for the flooring business, and are they more different for the soft and hard flooring, and do they significantly differ for the textile business?
Yes, yes, yes. So the channel is different, and this, the dealerships that we are setting up, these are kind of 300-400 sq ft stores within stores where who sell these stone products and the ceramic products. So these are different dealers. And also this, we are setting up our own gateways, showrooms, as you might want to call them, about 1,200 sq ft to about 1,800 sq ft each. So they sell a little differently than home textiles, but our intent over this current year is to actually bring out some synergy and, you know, make a consolidated offer and, you know, this be more meaningful and more holistic to our customers, particularly on the digital side. So we are very enthused with the digital response to our flooring business. And so we want to leverage that engagement with the digital customer to actually this put forward a very comprehensive whole home offer. And mind you, this with the flooring business, we have a huge connect with the interior designers, architects, and designers. So we want to leverage that, and as I said, put up a comprehensive all soft and this flooring soft home as well as flooring offer together. So we'll be attempting that, and we are very excited with it. So we'll be attempting that in the current year.
Got it. And sir, one last thing is that if you look at your total subsidy income, which is the VAT as well as the scheme income, that was 666 crores in FY20. Could you share what is that equivalent number for the 9 months of FY21?
Very difficult to bring it out, this online here, so you might as well connect with Sanjeev offline.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Happy to address that, yeah.
Also explain the-
Hello?
You can offline.
Yeah, sure. And one last follow-up, sir, that the scheme was roughly 7% of our sales. That you have mentioned is going to now come down to anywhere between 2%-4%, right? Is that understanding correct?
Yeah.
So it is around 6, what, until December, it was around 6%. So yes, that will go down to 2%-4%.
Got it, sir. Thanks a ton, and all the best.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
So, I would really thank each one of you to be here, and thank you, everyone, and stay safe, and thank you, Edelweiss, as well.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.